Let's go to Patrick Wannis, PhD. Patrick, it's Jay Thomas. How are you, sir?
Oh, is this the famous Jay Thomas?
Well, I don't know how famous I am. By the way, Patrick, the Whitney Houston thing, 2 years ago, you said that she would die within 5 years, but not as a psychic. But we all knew, you could pick a lot of people. Like Demi Moore now, people are going, she's not going to make it 2 more years. Did you ever treat her, or you were just watching her behavior?
No, she was not my client. I was watching her behavior and speaking about her behavior. And you said something that's really true and insightful, which is any addict can die at any moment. And the difference with Whitney was the extent of her drug addiction, and then, of course, everything else was happening in her life. You go back to the abuse that she experienced with Bobby Brown. Her father died in 2003. She just, locked herself away. And would get into these shocking alcohol and drug binges. So, yeah, you don't have to be a psychic. And I don't even know that you have to have a PhD to look at someone who's an addict and say, your time is running out. But in the case of Whitney Houston, her whole world around her was crumbling. I mean, every area of her life, every aspect of her life. Yes, her mother was there and her mother loved her. But the fact that she was in that relationship with Bobby Brown alone, when you have two people who have an addiction living together, locking out the world and just going deeper and deeper into their despair, they drag each other further down. There was no way that she, if she continued that relationship, that she would have come out of that addiction.
Now, here's the strangest thing about extremely wealthy and talented people. If you went to them and you said, okay, look, Whitney, you're out of control, pick any number of people, they fire you. And so now your meal ticket has just canned you. And so the bodyguards, the helpers, the everything, they know what she's doing, and they can't stop her. So what responsibility do you think the managers, the booking agents, the assistants have to someone like this?
You raised another great point, Jane. You call them managers, handlers, agents, bodyguards, sometimes often referred to as the entourage. I refer to them as the parasites. These are the people who don't give a shit. They basically, like you said, it's their job, it's their meal ticket. But if you're looking at someone, you know that they're going to die, you know that they can kill themselves. How can you say, okay, I'll be the one that'll run out to the pharmacy and get the prescription, or I'll go and make the call to Mr. X because I know that's where I can get the meds for you, or that's where I can get the illegal drugs. And that's what most of the people do for all these celebrities. Jay, you know that because you've...
Yeah, but you don't want to lose your gig, and you take abuse. And, Michael Jackson's doctor, this is what Michael wanted. The guy was making, hundreds of thousands of dollars off of Michael Jackson, and he was begging him. And I know the guy's, going to go to jail for 4 years probably and lose his license and everything. But this
he has lost his license.
A lot of money, for this guy. And,
But Jay, it comes down to one thing. It's called integrity. It's not easy to say no. It's not easy to say, no, I'm not going to give you this and then lose your job. But what about integrity? I mean, Dr. Conrad Murray, yeah, you're exactly right. This guy was making, I don't know if it was $50,000 or $100,000 a month. It was some extraordinary amount of money. I think it was a lot more than that, actually, because I don't know if you remember that movie about Metallica. The psychologist to Metallica was on call for $50,000 a month.
And we're talking psychologist? But
he was in the movie with them, too.
Wait a second.
That was the inspiration of the movie.
Yeah.
That whole movie with Metallica, Some Kind of a Monster, was the story of, it was how the whole thing came out. And that psychologist was on call with the band for $50,000 a month. I don't off the top of my head recall the amount that Dr. Conrad Murray was being paid, but it was some ridiculous amount.
I think it was over 100 a month.
It was 150 grand a month purported. Yeah. Yeah. Now, let's talk about another guy. We just saw Brian Wilson on the Grammys last night. Wasn't it, I don't know if you know this story or not, wasn't it 30-something years ago, a psychiatrist had him put his piano in a giant sandbox, and this guy became his manager, his helper, and started taking profits or whatever, and I don't even know what happened to the guy finally. But when someone's a psychologist or a PhD, they get the trust of the person. And So here's the, when you say integrity, it just because you're really smart, become a doctor, become a psychologist, become a psychiatrist or an internist even, you still as a person have to try and judge if you can that this person may not have your best interests at heart.
Well, and that's very hard. If you're an addict or you've got, you're vulnerable, you're in some sort of life crisis, there's extraordinary pain in your life, it's very hard for you to judge and say,
I know,
does this guy really care about me, or does he just care about the check? I have obviously, you know, I work with some high profile and some celebrity clients. And recently, this one woman contacts my website and speaks to my guy who sort of sets these up and says, well, I've seen on the website the rates that Patrick charges, but what does he charge for celebrities? And I almost died, and I called back my guy and I said, what? Did she really ask that? I said, well, write her back and tell her we don't charge people based on the amount of money they make. I said, obviously, I'll charge more if I'm going to the person's house versus doing it over the phone. I'll obviously charge more if you want me all day long, or if you want to fly me up to New York, or you want to fly me to the islands for 2 days. Yeah, there's costs involved. But her perception was, Patrick, because this is what they all do. We have a rate for the average person, and then we have a rate for the celebrity. Well, why would you charge more for the celebrity? Why? Oh, because you can, because they'll pay for it.
I think she meant less. No. I'm not joking. I think that she meant more, right?
No, she meant more, because we wrote back and we said, no, he does not charge more because they're a celebrity. But you raise a good point. She could have been saying, well, can we have it free? No, she didn't mean that at all, because she asked us for all the contracts and rate sheets for, well, what about if we fly him up to New York? What about if we fly him here? What about if he's there for a day? Can you send us his rider? You know, so I have to actually provide these people with riders in case I'm going away for a day on set somewhere or 2 days on set. They want to know, well, what does he expect? And what
does
he want?
Now, if you have a client, let's just take Amy Winehouse or Whitney Houston. You got a client, and their parents are there and everything else, and you go, hey, she's beyond my help. I've done everything I can, and she's got all these handlers. You can't commit these people involuntarily. That's the problem.
Yeah, only in California there is a law where you can commit someone for up to 72 hours, but that's still not going to rescue the person. No. That gets them out for 48 to 72 hours, unless someone comes along and says this person has to stay here longer. But there are legal limitations of what you can do. Your point, Jay, which is truly valid, is, how much can any professional do to save someone's life?
If the person doesn't do anything, it's way past wanting it. You need to be committed. You need to be put in a friggin' straitjacket, taken in someplace, and some real tough stuff has to happen. Now, this was true many, many years ago. You could commit people. Now, maybe it was abused. I'm sure it was. But if one of my kids goes completely nuts, you know, there are these groups when they're under 18 where they come in with a van and they come in at 4 a.m, wake the kid up and bring them to one of these boot camps. You know about these, right?
Yeah.
They basically put these kids in straitjackets and they say, look, either we're going to fly there quietly or we're going to drive 18 hours up to Whitefish, Montana, wherever the hell it is. But once they're 18, Nothing like that can happen. They can only voluntarily put themselves away. So do you think there should be a law passed or something when someone can be proven to be completely out of it and they can be put away?
No, because the question is, for how long can they be put away, and where are they being put away, and what's going to happen to them while they are being put away? And then there's so much room for abuse. There is, as I said, in California, and I don't know about any other states, the option when if someone is a danger to themselves or to someone else, a perceived danger to themselves or someone else, they can be put away for a period, I think, 48 to 72 hours.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Well, and I think it happened around the time of Ronald Reagan. I'm not sure when it
but it is crazy, because if you had been Whitney Houston's doctor and you had told everyone that she's taken all these pills or whatever the hell they found that she was taking, and she's doing booze or taking a pill and an up and a down and a whistle and that, and then you quit, and with all the integrity you can say to the whole group, She is going to die. You're all going to be out in the street with nothing. And they still couldn't have done anything. With all the integrity of the world, they could not have stopped her.
But, Jay, you're expressing the frustration and the dilemma that faces everyone in the world of addiction and recovery. And that is that you'll always come across the person who either refuses to be helped or relapses or just can't take control of their situation. What I'm arguing, and I put this in an article in my blog, that all of these people, all of these wonderful A-list celebrities, musicians, singers, athletes, actors, even the governor of New Jersey, wherever it was, that say, she was my friend, she was my sister, I'll love her for always. Shaquille O'Neal called her auntie. Well, my question to them is, where were you when she was addicted? How many of you actually gave up your time and went and sat next to her and said, no, we're not going to let you do this? How many of them did that? I'm sure some did. I'm sure that there were some people close to her. Obviously, her mother and other people around her did it. But how many of these other people, like Kim Kardashian, who makes sure that the whole world knows that she's at Clive Davis's big elite pre-Grammy party when she says, you know, how sad she is for Whitney's death and then says, at Clive's party, in the same tweet? She's just
absolutely. All of them. Now, the other one is, we keep giving awards to people. You know, Amy Winehouse won again yesterday for the Tony Bennett duet. There are a lot of great duets in there. And then, of course, Whitney's going to win everything. And these drug addicts keep winning awards. I think that they should go, gee, you know, great singer and all, but shit, she's all fucked up. We can't give her a Grammy. It validates her addiction in a way.
Wow, that's an interesting topic that I've never thought about.
I wouldn't have voted for her. If I had a vote, if I was still in music radio and I'd had a vote in the Grammys, which years ago we all used to have a vote, I would not have voted for Amy Winehouse. I would never have voted for anybody, you know, loaded. I would never vote for Bobby Brown. He beat Chris Brown, right? Chris Brown beat the shit out of Rihanna, right? Is that right?
Correct. That's what he beat.
I would never fucking vote for this guy. He hasn't changed even a little bit, right? He gets a goddamn award. And then you got Bobby Brown is still around. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. And I don't know whether it adds to their credibility. I don't know what it is. But you're not supposed to be a wife beater or a heroin addict or completely out of control. And then you're given an award. It validates what you're doing beyond your talent, in my estimation.
Well, I partially agree. The problem is that reward and punishment doesn't always work in addiction because most addicts are actually sabotaging their life anyway, Jay.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm a different guy. I know that you help, you sit, you help, you talk, the whole deal. I am telling you now, whenever I see these incredible places where you go and drug addiction places and the pools and the hot tubs and everything else, that's bullshit. You take them, you fucking waterboard their asses. You beat the piss out of, I'm sorry, all of this nice shit, and you still have a 90% recidivism of people who go right back to this shit again. They need to be fucked with in a big way. And, of course, it'll never happen. Ever. Never.
Well, but we also have the other problem, too. Jay, let's not forget that one of the reasons we have such a huge problem of addiction in this country, in America, is because of the pharmaceutical corporations and the doctors who are happy to keep prescribing. Do you know?
Well, yeah, you're right. How about my own family? We can get any pill we want at my house. Anything I want. I can call somebody up and get it. I mean, and they're not bad doctors. It's just, you know, I don't think I could get like a lot of it, but I could get probably a 30-day supply that would kill me in a night, right? Of something.
Well, you know, here's something that's going to completely shock you and your audience if you're ready for this. Now, you've probably heard of DSM, the DSM manual. That's known as the Diagnostic and Statistician's Manual of Mental Disorders. It's put out by the American Psychiatric Association. The first, and what it basically is the Bible of mental disorders. So if you're a practitioner, you're a psychologist, psychotherapist, psychiatrist, you pull out the book and you go, oh, here are all these symptoms. Jay Thomas is such and such. This is the mental illness or the disorder that Jay Thomas has. Now, there's a reason that I'm laughing while I say this. In 1952, in the first manual, the DSM, that means the American Psychiatric Association, said homosexuality is a sociopathic personality disorder. Now, They're about to launch the newest edition. This is number 5, and it's due to come out sometime this year or next year. What they're planning to put in this is that people that are shy, people that are grieving, or children that are defiant are all suffering from mental illness. So soon you're going to have shyness labeled as mental illness, grieving as mental illness. A child that is defiant and wants to annoy his parents or goes out of their way to rebel will be labeled as some sort of defiant disorder. These are the very things that contribute to drug addiction, Jay.
Well, these people that are putting this out are in the—they're in the bank account of the pharmaceuticals. Yes. That's all I can assume. But hey, we just had a doctor on that said pistachios make your dick hard, and where do we find his information? At WesternPistachio.com. I think that's a company that owns the nut company. I think now and the country, by the way, that said that pistachios makes your dick hard is the country of Turkey. And pistachios come from Iran, and they come from Turkey. I'm telling you. So we just had a guy on. Now, I'm sure the stuff says all this, right? But he didn't say the macadamia nut was any good. I can tell you that, you know. So.
But unfortunately,
yeah,
there are children that are age 6 and 7 and 8 that are being put on medication.
I know.
Being put on pills. And then what happens is eventually they become addicted to them. So plus, let me say this is really important. I'm sorry, I keep clearing my throat. But if the mentality and the consciousness is put in place, Jay, that any time you have a problem, whether it's mental illness, stress, trauma, depression, sadness, some sort of emotion, some behavior that doesn't fit into robotic normal behavior, we'll give you a pill. So what we're teaching you is anytime something goes wrong in your life, turn to a pill. If you're getting angry at your girlfriend because she's done something or she's cheated on you, hey, you can't get angry. Take a pill. You're depressed because she's cheated on you? Take a pill. You're sad? Here, take a pill. Eventually what happens is you lose your job, something else happens, and you go, let me take a pill. It's the whole mentality that the only solution to all of our problems and the only way we can be happy is to take pills. That encourages, perpetuates, and enables and promotes drug addiction in this country, Jay.
Now, I'm going to give you what I believe is true, and then we're going to say goodbye. You will go to your grave, and so will I, and it will be worse the day we die. I believe it. We're not going to get any better. Foster kids are being given pills now because they're acting up. They're crazed. They're from some crazy family. They're finding out they're given, you know, some huge amount of pills to, and it's just going to get worse. And you know, fight the good fight and you know, try and stop. You're going to lose a lot of clients if you have integrity. I can tell you that now. And I'll lose my job if I go into some boss who's coked up or a drunk or whatever, or some guy that I hang out with and I say, hey, you know, you're out of control completely. I'll lose my friends and I'll lose my job if I do that. I'm telling you, you know. And so we'll go to our grave. It'll just be worse. That's all.
Can I say this as a closing comment? You'll love this. Winston Churchill said, oh, you have enemies? Good. You stood up for something in your life.
Patrick Wannis, PhD, predicted Whitney's death 2 years ago. I hope you can keep some of your clients alive. Okay, Patrick?
Yeah, thanks, Jane. Have a great day, mate.
You too. Thank you so much.